Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for joining us and for giving us these glorious promises, Lord. You're cleansing your house, and you're getting ready for the bride to go to the king's house. Oh, thank you, Father. And it's already started. Oh, we praise you, Father, and we thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to share an awesome promise and revelation that we have seen out there in UBM is coming to pass. And this is a revelation given to Eve Brast on 10:25. She said, I dreamed I was widowed and alone in the house that Eddie and I had moved to in Athens. And I believe Eve here represents the larger bride. You know, she said, I was standing in the dining room area where a bunch of my old homeschool books and supplies that are still in totes and boxes are stacked on the floor. And by the way, these were there later too, after moving to this glorious new house that we believe is the king's house, like in Esther, but they were still there, packed away. These were all the old curriculums that I used to teach my boys in the past. And she gives Jeremiah 6:16, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Yeah, well, that's where most of the church is. We're not going back to that old stuff, you know. Well, that's the only real stuff we have, right? And the members of the bride body no longer need the milk, but the meat, which is to do the will of the Father. Hebrews 5:12 says, For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, this is true for a lot of people. They sit there and soak it up, and do nothing with it. So there's no fruit born. Actually, when you act on it is when you get fruit, right? They should be teachers. But he said, You have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use, in other words, they use the food, they use the word, right? Have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. In John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work. That's the meat. There are many hearers of the word, but not doers of the word, deluding themselves. They hear it, and it just passes over their head. They have no conscience to actually put it to work, to act on it, to obey it, etc. They can't bear fruit in that way. And this is what we call an apostate. An apostate is a backslidden person. Because if you're not going forward, you're backsliding. And I've seen people that they haven't borne fruit since I've known them, you know. Just same old place or worse. Sometimes they don't have the faith they had back then, you know. Anyway, I had my Bible open and sitting on top of the stacks that I was, and I was feeling alone, praying and interceding. And I was wondering how I would raise our boys, Elijah and Josiah, to adulthood by myself. And she meditated on this, and she said, I believe my earthly husband here is representing those in apostate leadership who to us now are spiritually dead. Yes, we've outgrown them, right? I was widowed in the dream because there can be no relationship or fellowship between those with the Spirit of Christ and those with a spirit of Antichrist. A lot of people don't know what a spirit of Antichrist is. It's just against Christ. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And there are many Christians that are against Christ and what he stands for and what he teaches. They've got a new modern religion, you know. These people, in a way, are dead to us and dead in their sin and rebellion. Okay, then she said, in real life, Eddie chooses the new way of homeschooling with our youngest son by doing everything on the computer. But our older son prefers the old method with my books and curriculums. So I have dug many of the high school materials out of these totes and boxes that were Noah's when he was high school age, and I teach him the old way after work and on the weekends. And she has a note here, the apostates, which means backslidden, like to have another Jesus, a new Jesus that is more modern and convenient and in which you don't have to put any effort into holiness. But the true disciples of Jesus only want to learn the old way through studying the Word and believing it and acting on it, right? Jeremiah 6 and 16 says what she just said. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. You know, the training of the bride body is being packed away for its time for their works to begin. You know, as long as it's just training, it's milk. It's when it turns to works of the Father. In other words, doing the same works that the Father and the Son do, that's when it becomes meat. There are many Christians who never get to the meat. That's obvious. So this is the doing of the will of the Father. And that is so needed in this day. Many people are waiting, you know. But they don't need to wait. They need to act. Suddenly there was a loud knock at my sunroom door. On the back of her house is a sunroom. Nice sunroom. Next to the dining area. I was surprised that there were people in my sunroom. And I would spell sunroom S-O-N-R-O-O-M. It's the room full of the light of the Word and of the glory of God and of His sons, right? I heard muffled voices that seemed joyful and excited. And, well, knowing what I know about the rest of this, rewards have arrived for the faithful. You know, there are a lot of people are not going to get a reward for being faithful. And that's sad because they're not bearing fruit, right? I opened the door to see Michael Hare with Sue Gilbert and Patty on either side of him. These are UBM people who are a type of larger UBM. They had smiles on their faces and an excited gleam in their eyes because something exciting is coming, right? I noticed a rich maroon painted wall behind them. And she made a comment, when we are going through tough trials, sometimes we feel alone, or the enemy tells us that we're alone because he lies to try to separate and isolate us. But Our true family in Christ will always be there to wash our feet and hold us up in prayer with the love of our heavenly husband, Jesus. All right? Yep, good point. And then she went on to share some more. Michael, which means who is like God, stepped back and spread open his arms. So when she went into the sunroom, this is what she saw, right? And spread open his arms and said, "Girl, get out here. Don't you know you've been given a mansion?" Of course, it's speaking, of course, the bride receiving a mansion. You are being moved out. You moved out of the old house and into the new house. I believe it's the Father's house. I believe it's the King's house, right? She said, "I believe in this dream, Father is using me to type the bride of Christ, and Christ is coming back soon in the first fruits bodies of the man, child, and bride by bringing us through the sun room and into his promised mansion, which is a more glorified state of being and of works." Yeah, in the book of Esther, she's going to the king's house, his mansion. She's going there to stay. However, the virgins will visit there and get their inspection, but will return to the house of the women, which is the old order and glory. Eve said, "I peeked around the corner of my sunroom door to the right and the left. I then realized that the house in Athens was attached to a high-end mansion that looked extremely similar to Steve and Pamela's beautiful new house that they had bought and closed on at the same time that we bought our house in Athens. I've believed that there was a great significance to me and Pam both closing on houses at almost the same time. My house closed first and hers closed the next day. Mine closed on the day of my 40-day fast, on the day that it was ending, and hers closed on the day the local UBM body's 40-day fast was ending. Now, we fasted because God told us we were going to have a breakthrough, and we're seeing that." Praise God. "At that time, Father told me to extend my fast in order that we would all finish together." So she extended it one day because the rest of the body started the next day. "I believe that my little house as an apartment attached to the bigger house that the Father is bringing me into represents a unification of his first fruits body, bringing us out of our individualism and into body ministry." Yeah, I would say coming out of the old order house, the old glory house, to the new higher glory house, right? So we've had to go through this house experience to get to that one, right? It is the new spiritual unleavened bride's house. 1 Peter 2 and 5 says, "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." She said, "I looked down at the dark, rich hardwood floors and then up at the high ceilings with the high-end lighting fixtures. Many of the walls were painted with an olive green or sage color." And she gives Psalm 78:1. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." And she says, we are the olive tree of all Israel. Yes, and I might add that when those without faith have fallen away, because this is how God sanctifies a body. How he sanctifies individuals is taking things out of them that don't belong there so that they may have the glory of God. And of course, the bride is love. Therefore, the bride is going to have this quality. Okay? But moving from the old house to the new house is a higher privilege, a higher ability, a higher reward, etc. As you know, when Esther moved into the king's house, everything was awesome. You know? She said, I stepped into the mansion that had been my sunroom. You want to go to the mansion, you got to go through the sunroom, where there's lots of light, lots of truth. You got to walk in the light, right? And I could feel the excitement in the air. That's that higher glory of the sun, which has come to stay. I knew in the dream that Father had given me this house, and it totally belonged to me, that is, to the bride. And at the same time, I was to share it with David and the true UBM brethren, which is also the bride. Did you notice? Yeah. So that's pretty good, pretty neat the way the Lord put that. It's amazing to me how Father can make something so completely yours, and at the same time, it's also shared with everybody in the body. I understood this feeling in the dream, although it is a foreign concept to human nature or understanding. There was no feeling of jealousy, envy, selfishness, no feeling of individuality or a sense of mine, or a need to dwell separately and have my own space. In other words, no more competition, just cooperation, right? My individuality existed in the mansion itself. You know, the mansion is the people. It is the bride, right? We are the house of God. My individuality existed in the mansion itself, as well as my strength and confidence. I understood that the Father knew me so intimately and loved me so individually that nothing else outside of this fact mattered to me. I was complete in that knowledge and understanding and had no need for ego or sense of self. Well, this is the new bride's house or abode, right? Ephesians 2 and 19. So then, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, meaning the sanctified ones, right? These are the only people that are allowed in this house. Okay, and of the household of God, kind of like Esther entered into the king's house that represented the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and of course, everything we do should be built upon everything that they wrote, and Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, there's the loss of that individuality, right, groweth into a, that's one, holy temple in the Lord, this holy temple, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now, if you dwell in that temple, in the presence of God, and not just out in the city somewhere, you know, you're in the presence of God, like Esther had the ear of the king. You know, she had the favor of the king. And you better not mess with the king's kid, right? Notice that this is not in the flesh. It says a habitation of God in the spirit. This is not in the flesh. It's not physical. It's not talking about a physical house, but in the spirit. And it goes wherever the bride goes. Try that with your house, right? All the local brethren, which are a type of the larger UBM body, were touring the house in awe of this beautiful place that Father had provided us. Mm-hmm. So the bride is being separated from the unclean old order and chosen to live in the presence of the king. And I went with Michael and Sue and Patty over to Pam's sewing room to the right as we entered. And I saw Greg and several of the other brethren checking out the sewing machine, which was sitting on top of my homeschool totes and supplies that had been in my dining room in Athens. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom all of the body, fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part." So all the parts come together to make the whole, right? "Maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love." Now, a body can only work as a whole when people are in cooperation. They're only acting in their gift. They're not getting over into the other person's gift. And there's total cooperation as there is in a body, right? And the body, of course, takes care of itself. It meets its needs, etc., etc., right? That's what a real body is. The schizophrenic body out there of the church, you know, is factioned up into how many denominations? You know, like they have to make lines, you know. She said, "There were also several bolts of colorful fabric. The brethren were all making plans and choosing which fabric would represent them in a UBM patchwork quilt that was going to be sewn." A patchwork quilt, of course, it makes all of the individual pieces into one, like Ephesians talked about, right? Knit together. And she gives Proverbs 31:22. "She maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." Yep, and it reminds me of the verse we shared earlier, "In whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, as living stones are built up a spiritual house." Yes. "When I walked back into the living slash dining area and saw David standing in the kitchen with hands folded to his chin in peaceful thankfulness, he was smiling and observing us in our excitement." Well, of course, this has been the goal, you know, to get God's people together, to be full of love, and to work in one accord, and to be a part of this new house, right? This is it. And I think David represents the spiritual father here, because in the dream he watched over us and he led us like we were his children. And then I noticed my mother was there leading an entourage of strangers. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but out there in UBM, wherever you be, our mother is the Babylonish religious people who have that kind of a relationship to God. They're scattered among the UBM people, and they are factioned to one another in denominations, but the bride is just one, right? Listen to this. In Song of Solomon 6:8, "There are 70 queens," that's pretty factioned, fourscore concubines, that's pretty factions, and virgins without number, that's very factioned. But my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. You know how you can tell how when a people are one? There is peace between them. No selfish ambition. No ego. He says his dove, his undefiled, is but one. What does that make the rest of them? Defiled. And is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. And Eve went on to say about this mother and entourage of strangers that they were meeting in the house also, but they had brought their own food. In other words, what they want to hear, but not necessarily do, right? You know, when people only want to hear what they want to hear, they don't want the whole gospel. They don't want what can make them perfect and come into the image of Jesus Christ. They don't want that. But people have that. They have filtered ears, you know. They hear what they want to hear. And they only do what they want to do. So, and we're holding separate meetings. Well, that's interesting. In the same house. They gravitate together and choose not the fellowship of the spiritual and the worshipful. Okay, I thought to myself, they don't belong here. They don't have a right to meet here. They just assume that they can meet here. I felt awkward by their presence. Well, do you know the queens, concubines, and virgins do not belong in the king's house? The bride who is chosen by the king is there. But they return to the house of the women, as in the book of Esther. So they get a temporary inspection, and back they go, because they ain't pretty enough, right? Esther's pretty. And I can tell you why. She's love. She is love, right? The greatest of these is love. And there was a coldness around them. That's a mom and her strangers, right? And this is due to spirits that do not like the bride's radical love and worship of God. They do not like it. It makes them very nervous. And that's because spirits hate that. I mean, a lot of people have picked up spirits along the way. Sometimes they inherited them through the blood. Sometimes they picked them up through a sinful life and hurts and problems that they've received through life and decided not to use the gospel against them and to get rid of them, but just let it tag along, you know? Well, that's defiled. My mother, she says, represents the apostate church, which I came out of. And her entourage represents those who are in bondage to apostate religion and obey her. Well, amen. Here's the story right here, Esther 2 and 12. Now when the turn of every maiden was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that it had been done to her according to the law, for the women 12 months, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and the things for the purifying of the women. Okay. How many of you know you can splash on perfume, but underneath you still stink? Now, there was something that the king did not like about these women. Then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Whatever they wanted, Whatever they desired was given to them. You know, it's the same way today. But you know what? People are not partaking of the things that God has given by His Holy Spirit. And so verse 14 says, in the evening they went, that is to the king's house, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, not the first house, right? To the custody of Sheshgaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. So now they're concubines. And she came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. So here you have what happened to all of the women but one. Okay? So now we're going to see the separation of the bride from the virgins, now concubines, who went back to the house of the women. And their sects and their divisions, etc. Verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. Well, now, he represents the Holy Spirit. He knows the king better than anybody, and she wanted what he thought was best. She humbled herself to the Holy Spirit. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal, there it is, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and kindness in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now, isn't that interesting? She stayed, they went back. And that's what's happening with this house that Eve was given to, this house of the king, this mansion. As I was looking around, I noticed a corner near the ceiling with two windows on each side. They were framed with polished mahogany wood, and each window had four panes. This corner was part of a bedroom in the loft, and it overlooked the kitchen. It was in the loft, right? I went over to my mother, assuming she was for us, and whispered into her ear that corner up there would be perfect for Josiah's bedroom. She didn't respond to this, and I understood that she was opposed to the idea. Well, they are opposed to the reformation that Josiah brings. He is in the loft, meaning lifted up. In this new house, he's going to be lifted up. The reformation is going to be lifted up. You know, Josiah drove the enemy and the false gods out of Israel. I realized that she and her people were our enemies and planned on the loft being their meeting place. In other words, they were in the same house, like UBM, you know, but they had their own ambitions. They wanted to be lifted up themselves, you know, the loft, right? And you know, if you want to be lifted up yourself, you're not qualified to be in the bride, right? And she said, Josiah represents the man-child reformers who, like Jesus, are made the head of the corner. They want this high position even though they have no right to it. That is, these others. They want it, but they don't have a right to it. Well, at this point, they're in the same house, but separate, and not one as the bride is. These are the people that cause all the trouble. They have their selfish ambition. They want to be lifted up, and they don't earn that respect. Okay. Then I heard David calling the brethren to go upstairs to the loft for our meeting. Well, we're being called to a higher place, the upper room in the Father's house. The upper room is the place where Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. That's very important because in the upper room there is a Passover. There's many Christians that don't have a Passover. Many. Because they're not walking under the blood and they're not eating all of the lamb, which Exodus 12 demands if you're going to keep the Passover. Mark 14 and 15 says, "And he will himself show you a large upper room furnished and ready, and there make ready for us." That's what Jesus said when he sent his disciples to prepare for the Passover. Are you preparing for the Passover? The upper chamber is where the disciples prayed just before the Holy Spirit fell on them at Pentecost. That's in Acts 1 and 13 and 14 and 2, 1 through 4. So we all went up the stairs where Pam's stove is normally located in real life. You know, Pentecost, this outpouring of the Spirit, is going to come on some of God's people. I mean, this new house, this new anointing, this power. She said, we can only reach heavenly places in Christ Jesus by taking up our cross and going through the same trials as our spiritual fathers went through. And they said, of course, through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom of heaven. Woohoo! So true. Some people avoid tribulation in every way that they can, but, you know, this is the way to the kingdom. When I got to the top, I saw an open game room area with all of our chairs set up. And she gives this verse, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. You understand that? So many are entangled with the affairs of this life. But we're a soldier. We have to give those things up to be ready for combat all the time. That he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except he have contended lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first to partake of the fruits. Consider what I say, for the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. She said there was a very elaborate and expensive keyboard with a padded bench. It had a dust cover over it because my mother's group never used it. Oh. In other words, the higher place of worship would bother the mother's church. The Shulamite wanted to bring the beloved to her mother's house. You know, worship is something that the Father is seeking. And some people are too proud to worship, and just as they are in a lot of those concubine churches. So Don went over immediately and uncovered it. He said, how can anyone have something this fine and never use it? In other words, what an opportunity of worship is lost on these people that don't even know what it means. Worship means to kiss towards. It's an open act of love towards God, as any bride would have towards her husband. Some people are too embarrassed or too proud or too fearful to do this, but it's what God desires. John 4 and 23, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. This kind of worship makes the mother's people nervous. We'll sure put it to good use, Don said. Yeah, the apostate church hate praising and worshiping the Lord. Demons hate praise, especially demons of pride, because they know people can be freed from them through praise and worship. She said, I noticed there were tables that had been set up by my mother's people with platters of picked over food that they had left behind hastily. You know why it's picked over? They pick and choose verses, you know. But they left it behind hastily when David called UBM up to the loft. Oh, praise the Lord. The mother's people leave their fruit behind, don't they? They were insulted that we crashed their meeting place and disgusted that they would have to share it with us, so they left. Does that remind you of Esther 2 and 14? It does me. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheshgaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. And she came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. Eve's saying that these people don't realize that their souls are antichrist, hating what Christ stood for, and are completely opposed to his spirit-filled life. And, of course, the gifts too. They love their own selfish ways and their ego and individuality and do not want to share their lives, their time, their possessions, or anything else that they consider to be theirs. They fiercely guard all these and won't let anyone into their selfish universe because they have rights. They don't like to share anything, and their only thought is, what can I get out of people or situations? Or how can they make me feel good, right? Or what can I take? They don't think about what they can invest in the lives of others. Yeah, and when they do start doing that and people don't line up with what they will, they quickly depart from it. One brother began eyeing the other group's leftover food, leaning forward over one of the platters with his hands clasped behind his back. Something hidden? Works hidden? Don't know. He was wearing a yellow shirt, which is, I guess, a warning of possible danger, you know, leaning over that food, and plaid shorts. He began to pick up a sliced up piece of fruit and put it to his mouth. Well, the apostate church's fruit is dangerous to partake of. It will bring you down from your glory, right? Sue Gilbert saw this and rushed over to him and lowered his hand with the fruit in it down from his mouth. She said in a calm and graceful way, "Oh, you don't want to do that. Here, let's clean all this up and throw it away. We shouldn't eat their food." And that's true. If you sit and listen to them, those spirits will get into you, and you'll be doing the same thing they are. It was almost as if she had, been entranced by looking at their fruit and didn't even know what he was doing. And, she said this faction can infect others with the fruit of their lips. And, by the way, there is a great feast that's going to be given to Esther, right? Not the mother. Esther 2 and 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants when Esther's feast. Yep, that's when she went to the king's house. That's what she got. Sue and some of the other sisters began throwing the food, platters and all, into trash cans and wiping up the tables as the brothers began folding them away so they could set up more chairs for our meeting. More chairs. Make room for chairs. Forget the flesh, right? And this is like the vision that I had a few weeks back. I was able to see supernaturally as I was standing on the seashore. I saw the sands on the seashore representing Abraham's seed, or the people of God, were being taken out to sea by the waves that dislodged them. You know how a wave rolls in and it grabs some sand and it drags, as it goes back, it drags it with it, you know. Out to sea represents being under the beast of the peoples of the world. The peoples, tribes, and tongues is what the waters are, right? As I watched, the waves also brought more sand from the sea to deposit them in the other's place. In other words, it brings up people out of the sea to deposit them on the seashore, which is true. People get saved and they come to the Lord, and they quite often take somebody else's crown who's being dragged out to sea. That's why the Bible says, let no man take thy crown. I noticed a brightly lit restroom over to the right of the loft and went over to check it out. It was very clean. It hadn't been used much by my mom's group. Well, they have not flushed the old religious life that Paul called dung. You know, he called his old religious life dung. And they're still carrying the load of their fallen life. Got to get rid of it. Throw the trash out, right? Then Josiah came up to me. He was very excited when he found out that the corner bedroom was going to be his. Let's face it, Josiah, the reformer, is not getting much respect. Now he's being lofted up, right? He wanted me to come see it with him, so we crossed the open game room, and as we opened the door, he saw the queen-sized bed situated in the corner where the windows overlooked the kitchen, and he took a flying leap onto the bed. He was smiling from ear to ear and very happy. He said, I've always wanted a room like this, Mom. Thanks. And then I woke up. So the reformer's words have been rejected and not lifted up by the apostates, but this will change, for God will lift them up. And she says, I asked Father to give me a word concerning this dream, and my finger was on the phrase, concerning this, in 1 John 5 and 16. But this whole chapter fits so many different elements of this dream. So, 1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's one of the qualities of the bride, to love the brethren. It's the love test we talk about. And, of course, the bride is going to ace this test, which is failed by the apostates. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do His commandments. You can't disobey God's commandments and bless God's people or love God's people. You're leading them the wrong way, right? You're pouring forth your spirits in their midst. You're defiling them. You can't love the children of God and not keep God's commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten of God, or born of God, same word, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Of course, if you are righteous, you have faith and boldness towards God, as we'll see in just a minute. And who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood. Water being the Word, and blood being the life and nature of Jesus, right? Even Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. So it's not the dead letter word, but the word that has the life of Christ in it. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. I believe that one might just be the bride, right? If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he hath borne witness concerning his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. I mean, when you show the word to people and they ignore it, well, they're making God a liar. Because he that hath not believed in the witness that God hath borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Notice that the life is in his Son. You cannot have the life outside of his Son. The life is in it. So if you abide in me, Jesus said, you bear fruit. Okay. He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. So those who abide in the Son have the life. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the boldness which we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So, I mean, if you have a clear conscience, you can be bold towards God, right? And this is the boldness which you have towards him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. So the righteous are bold in the faith. If any man see his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he shall ask, and God will give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. Not concerning this do I say that he should make request. Well, yes, you can't pray blessings on people who are willfully disobedient, which has no sacrifice, according to Hebrews 10:26. And it brings death to the spiritual man. You know, you feed the carnal man, the spiritual man dies. You feed the spiritual man, the carnal man dies. It's that way. And also blasphemy, which means to speak against. So blasphemy against the Holy Spirit's works in one of God's sons brings death to the spiritual man. Blasphemy, somebody who speaks against the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was pointing out. They were accusing him that his works were of the devil. And he said blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And it goes on to say, well, as it says, I should say, there is sin that brings life to the old man and death to the spiritual man. A person walking in this way spiritually dies. Jude 1:12 says, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts when they feast with you. They're hidden rocks, hard hearts. Shepherds, by the way, shepherds is not there in the numeric pattern. There's no numeric pattern in shepherd, because this is for all who are hidden among us who do not bear fruit. Not just the shepherds. They're included, of course. That without fear feed themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. You know, every wind of doctrine, they blow this way and they blow that way. Or the winds that are contrary to the ship, right? Autumn leaves without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, some people say you can't be twice dead, but they don't know what the Bible says, right? They do not bear the fruit of the life of Christ after being born again, and therefore die again. We know that Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that was begotten of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Very interesting. Keepeth himself. Because if Christ lives in you, you're able to keep yourself. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. The whole world lieth in the evil one. And if you go back out to sea, guess what you do? You lie in the evil one too. Yeah. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You know, eternal life is in the Son. It's not something he puts in your hand that you can do whatever you want with. It is in the Son. You have to be there to have it and to claim it. My little children, guard yourselves from idols. Okay, and the last word. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Well, amen. You know what? Don't let people sow their leaven into you. Don't hang out with wicked people, even if they call themselves Christians. Right? Well, Father, we thank you. We know that this purging of the mom and her strangers are strangers because they don't look like the king's kids, and her strangers is necessary in order to sanctify a body of believers that can be used of you in these days. Many hang out with the bride, but far fewer are the bride, and she goes to the king's house to stay. And that's a very uncomfortable place for apostates. It makes them feel convicted, and they don't like that because they want to stay where they are, you know. But it's a place of holiness, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, saints. God bless you. Good night.